Could you be louder?
Oh, yeah. Look at that Coke Zero. You opened that in the microphone for effect. I like how it's not even noon yet, and Dennis is already like digging into the Coke Zero.
Yeah, totally. Hi.
I learned this from you.
What? Being an asshole?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did.
Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany, your false eyelashes wearing, cat eye crust wiping. I'm just living in oversized t-shirts at this point, friend.
And I'm Kathleen, your mattress moving, best fiends playing. I finally gave in and purchased oat milk, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I meet up to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us, as always. This week, Kathleen, what are we talking about?
We are talking about, or rather, I am talking about, invisible labor.
Oh.
This was inspired by my best friend who sent me a text message last night. And she's like, I just need a week off from life right now. I think she's having a hard time handling motherhood and working full time and taking care of the house and doing it all from home during quarantine. So I would like to discuss the concept of invisible labor, because I know we have a lot of taste buds who are mothers or who are primary caretakers for someone in their life. And it's just something that I'm interested in right now.
And is that the definition of, because I haven't heard that term before. Is that like work that you're not getting paid for, essentially?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's all of the household work and child caring work that you don't get paid for. And whether or not you have children, we all sort of have a version of this in our lives. And I want to chat about it, you know.
Oh, wonderful. I'm excited.
What about you, Bethany?
I'm talking about something that I initially went into because what I had heard about it was creepy. But the more I dug into it, the more it's fascinating. And it is called Charles-Bonnet syndrome. Have you ever heard of this?
I haven't.
It's actually very interesting. It's a pretty common phenomenon that affects people with impaired sight or who have no sight, where they see hallucinations. And I had heard about the really creepy hallucinations that some people see, but a lot of people see just like super normal, not scary hallucinations. But we're going to talk about how it manifests, why it happens, what some of these hallucinations have been. It's really, really interesting.
Ooh, I love a good creepy phenomenon. Can I just say that I owe you an apology first and foremost today? I was very late to recording this podcast today, and I'll tell you why.
Why? Did you have to poo? It's usually because you have to poo.
No, I didn't know. That was like earlier today. But it's because, and I'm using my microphone to block it right now. I don't know if you can see on Skype. I have a honker of a lip pimple, and I don't want you to see it. And I was spending a lot of time trying to cover it up. And so like my hair is still kind of wet. I did the Jersey scrunch, you know, where you have wet hair and you just like add a little gel and scrunch
it. So it always looks wet.
Scrunch it up. Okay, I'm going to remove the microphone so you can see my lip.
Okay.
Please don't judge me. Okay.
Okay, I would never. Kathleen, I cannot even see it. I'm madder at you that you made us late because of a pimple I can't even see, nor do I care about. I've seen you basically nude. So like, why do you think I care? Turn it into a mole. I always just put a little brown eyeliner on it, make it a mole.
There is nothing more frustrating than a lip pimple because it's right there.
Yeah.
Anywhere else on your face, you can hide it. I popped all the juice out of it.
Oh,
I'm like, okay,
fun.
Okay, motherfucker, you better stay flat today, because then once it starts getting raised, then the concealer does less good of a job.
When it gets raised is when I turn it into a mole, because then it looks like a real mole because it's raised. So you like take two different colors of brown eyeliner pencil and like one and then two, and it looks like a legit mole. I do it all the time.
Thanks.
I am with you in that I have pretty severe maskne along my jawline. I also think it's a little hormonal acne, and they're big, but they can't be popped. A, because it just makes it worse, but B, because they're so deep and they're not coming to any sort of head. They're just there. And, you know, and I'm just like, I just need to go and get everything professionally taken care of and like, you know.
I know. I need a facial so badly. And I've been trying to come up with like a 7-step plan to give myself a professional at home facial.
I know. It's hard. I don't have one of those steam machines That's the thing.
I have one, but it's buried. I have no idea where it is. But when I was a teenager, I used to get just a metal bowl or some sort of mixing bowl and pour hot water in there and then put my face, put a towel over my head and let my face sort of hover over it in that way. And I might resort to doing that again and figuring out what kind of serums and mud masks and pore strips and what water I need to do it in to get the best results.
I do have a place that before quarantine I would go if I needed to get a facial, but there was one woman who worked there who I went to pretty regularly, and I just didn't like her, and I stopped seeing her after. Do you remember when I had to get my tympanoplasty? I had to have my eardrum grafted, right?
Yeah.
And so they took skin from behind my ear and then they grafted it over my eardrum.
Yeah.
And so I had a tiny little incision and stitches behind my ear.
Yeah.
And I told her about that before we did extractions in the facial. Mm-hmm. And then she even went and tried to pop my incision. She goes so deep onto my neck and around my ear. And then she started working on my incision. And I'm like, stop it. She was so aggressive. I was like, I told you that those are stitches. Do not try to open up my incision. And so I refused to go. So my place that they just reopened, but she's the only one available. So I'm not going to go to her. She's just too much. Yeah. Also, she tries to always upsell me on everything. I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, in other news.
After we finish talking about facial corner.
Good Housekeeping Today is reporting that Pine Sol spray kills coronavirus.
Okay.
So everybody go to your supermarkets today and fill your carts with Pine Sol spray, because Lysol spray has been sold out basically everywhere for a very long time. Every time I go to the store, I check and I can't find it. So Pine Sol spray. Yeah.
The disinfectant spray. This is true. We believe the science behind this. It's not and they're not telling you to eat it. They're just telling you to spray it on your surfaces.
Yeah, spray it on your surfaces. Okay. Pine Sol spray, yeah.
Okay. I believe that more than I believe someone who's it cures it in your body. Don't drink it.
Don't drink it. Don't inject it. Also, Bethany.
What?
There's something very important I need to discuss with you.
Okay.
So we've been working on a new merch collection to put out hopefully the beginning of next month. And I tried to convince you 2 weeks ago that we needed to do a tie-dye Acquired Taste sweatshirt. And you were like, no, Kathleen, I really don't think anyone's going to buy that.
Okay, and that's not what I said. I said it's not something I would wear, but I'm also I'm not trendy and I don't know what people want. And I said, so if you think it's what people would wear, I will concede, because I'm not trendy and you are. And I know tie-dye is very popular right now.
Glamour is reporting today that tie-dye isn't going anywhere because J-Lo was caught wearing a full tie-dye head-to-toe suit this weekend. And so I'm throwing it out into the universe. Gentle listeners, if tie-dye is something that you would be interested in seeing in our merch collection.
Here's the thing. If people will buy it, fine. But what people don't – what we need to remind everyone is that it costs money up front. So anything we take a gamble on to bring out in merch, it has to be paid for first. We can't just do one as they get ordered. We have to buy a lump sum of 50 or 100 tie-dye sweatshirts and then hope we sell them.
You got to spend money to make money, hon.
Yeah, but we still
That's
have
what I've learned from every single movie about Wall Street. You got to spend money to make money. I mean, how easy is it to declare bankruptcy? I'm not sure if we're there yet.
Gentle listener, this is an insight into the verbal version of the texts that Kathleen and I have, where Kathleen floats creative ideas to me and I have a meltdown via text and text her back paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs of me just melting down.
So tell me, you're only wearing oversized t-shirts lately?
Yeah, that's all I'm wearing.
That's cool.
Because, whatever, body dysmorphia. I'm just trying not to look at my body right now. But what I did do is discover a pair of white contacts I forgot that I had. And so I was going to just wear one today to try and scare you when you came onto Skype. But then it started giving me a headache because I was only wearing one.
Okay.
So I took it out. But this is what it looked like. And I'll post a picture of this on our Instagram. Can you see?
Oh, my God. You're a vampire and I'm so attracted to you.
So cool.
It looks great. But you can't just wear one. That's really freaky.
Yeah, it's really scary. I want to be someone who has two different colored eyes.
those kinds of colored contacts are notoriously famous for coming from shady websites and not being good for your eyes.
Yeah, also that's correct. And I was doing a lot of research about this Charles Bonnet syndrome as I was wearing it. And I think I started to get more and more afraid. So I then took it out as well. Because, you know, eye health is important. But it looks cool.
Yeah. Well, happy Friday, friend.
And also with you. Do you have any big weekend plans?
Yeah, I have a weekend plan to stop by your house. Is that okay?
Yeah, totally. When are you coming by?
I'm going to come by tonight. I have some stuff to drop off to you. I'm going to be in the city.
Amazing. Absolutely. You can swing by anytime.
I realize that it has been 6 months since we've seen each other in person.
So you will be the first person that I have seen in person that I used to see all the time. Because I haven't seen my family.
Yeah.
I haven't seen friends. I haven't seen anyone. I'm curious how I will react, if I'll cry or not.
You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, it's important to see your family. If you're thinking about maybe flying to see them, now might be a really good time before the, you know, they're saying like the outbreak of Corona is going to be really bad again in like November and December. Yeah, the second wave.
Shit. Are they really saying that?
Yes. And so... So you don't go a whole year without seeing your family. And I'm only saying this because someone told me that they got on a plane and there was basically no one on it. And it was Delta. And it was an amazing flying experience. And they felt really safe and secure. And the staff on the plane was amazing about making everyone feel like they weren't exposed. And tickets are also very, very inexpensive right now.
I bet.
Yeah.
Do you have to still quarantine for 2 weeks after you land in the new place?
You got to look it up. Every state has a different. And I know Wisconsin is on, well, at least for New Jersey, Wisconsin's on the list of places when you got home, you would have to quarantine for the full 2 weeks again, which sucks.
I'm trying not to think about the holidays. Like the idea of not seeing my family is devastating. So it's like, I'm just like, no, I will see them. I just have to figure out, you know, am I going to take a road trip? Like, will I just drive to Wisconsin and bring the cats so that I can stay as long as I need? Or, you know, it's hard. It's really scary. This all freaking sucks. It sucks so much.
I know. And I would really like to go see my brother because tickets to San Diego are $199.
Yeah.
$199.
Now is not, I mean, if you don't have to travel, I know it's tempting, but now is not the time. It just isn't.
I know.
It isn't.
Thank you for being the voice of reason, Bethany.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Very quickly, before we wrap up this segment, I have to tell you the funniest fucking thing. Oh, I shouldn't swear so much. Like, the funniest freaking thing that happened to my brother, and this is a warning for anybody who's moving right now or has to get a new apartment. So he moved to San Diego about 2 weeks ago. He finally got an apartment. He was only allowed to see his new building virtually.
Wow.
And so he is like, okay, cool. It looks great. He moves in. And he's living right next to the airport, and it is unbearably loud where he has to wear earbuds or like earplugs just to walk around his normal apartment. And he put a little cot in the closet so he can get sleep.
How did this not – like he knew that it was by the airport. He had to have known.
So I have to have a conversation with him later today. But I'm like, you have to break your lease. Even if you lose money, it's not worth living in that for a whole year. Like, get out of here.
Do we think that they wanted him to see it virtually because of Corona? Or do you think they always did that because they don't want you to know how loud it is?
Ooh, you make a good point. You know what? I really don't know. I'm going to give someone the benefit of the doubt and say it was because of COVID. Gentle listener, if you are moving right now, try to see it in person. Try not to see it virtually because you just don't know what you're getting
like,
into.
Was he on a Zoom call or did they just send pictures?
I think he was on a Zoom call. I'm not really sure. I think it's ridiculous. Wow. And he's got to move.
Or have them put in windows. Like that's what happened. My sister lives on a flight path, but the city put in windows, like noise canceling windows for her home because of how loud it potentially could be. So maybe that's something that they could, like an agreement they can come to with the landlords.
Stuff you don't think of. Yeah, I know.
All right, well, we're going to make life a little happier in the next couple of segments. I feel like I was like a giant downer. I never realized how much of a fucking downer I am. Kathleen, am I always like this?
No, Beth, I'm the one who brought up the very depressing, you know, like, don't move next to an airport. Listen, also, if there are any single taste buds in San Diego who are interested in dating a straight white male that's 33 years old, get in touch with me. Thank you. Bye.
Hot Bert.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
How many times do you think you've brushed your teeth in your lifetime?
Oh, geez. I hope a lot. Like hundreds of thousands.
And how many items can you say in your house that you actually use every single day, other than maybe your toilet, like, and your toothbrush? That's it, right?
I mean, you know, a few ointments, but yeah, that's about it. A few face things, that's it.
I'm so obsessed with our partner, Bruch, these electric toothbrushes that we got. I've recommended that my mom buy it, my friends buy it, my husband is loving his. Bruch is the best toothbrush I've ever had in my life, hands down, and I will scream that from the mountaintops.
Look, we have worked with other electric toothbrushes before. I have tried other electric toothbrushes. Bruch is the only one that has given me the same feeling that I get when I leave the dentist. They have sonic vibrations that clean your teeth with 31,000 movements a minute. A manual toothbrush is just 300 a minute tops.
My favorite setting is the whitening setting because they have all these different settings on the Bruch toothbrush. That's like clean your gums, clean your tongue, max setting, daily setting, whitening setting. I use the whitening setting every time with my whitening toothpaste, and I'm really starting to see a difference.
Plus, if you're looking for such a good clean, but you don't have a ton of money, Bruch is giving you that premier sonic wave technology, but without the huge markups that the big electric toothbrushes tack on.
If you want to get the cleanest feeling teeth of your life, you can do that and get 15% off of your Bruch toothbrush when you use our promo code TASTE at Bruch.com. Now I'm going to spell that for you, Bruch.com.
Try it 90 days risk-free and get a 2-year warranty. So go to Bruch.com, promo code TASTE. That's Bruch.com, promo code TASTE. Kathleen.
Yes.
So I was listening to a paranormal podcast when I first heard about Charles Bonnet syndrome, because they were talking about this man who I'm going to tell you about in a little bit, who basically started seeing Samara from The Ring show up in his hallucinations. And it was scaring the hell out of him.
Okay.
Until he figured out what it is. So it is called Charles Bonnet syndrome, also CBS. Mm-hmm. I've heard it pronounced bonnet. It's B-O-N-N-E-T. But a neurologist who I listened to on a TED talk pronounced it Bonnet. So I'm going to pronounce it Bonnet. So there we are.
Okay. Charles Bonnet.
So CBS mm-hmm. is a disease in which visual hallucinations occur as a result of vision loss, either caused by macular degeneration or glaucoma or cataracts. You don't have to be fully blind. You can just have like a lot of reduced vision, and this may kick in. Yeah. So Charles Bonnet, it's named after him. He was a Swiss philosopher in the 18th century. He realized that his grandfather was having these visual hallucinations, but that they were due to an eye disease rather than mental illness. Because a lot of people who have CBS are afraid to say anything, because if you think of someone seeing things, you immediately think, okay, well, they've gone crazy. And that's not the case. These aren't those kind of hallucinations.
Okay.
So in 1759, Grandpa told Charles that he had seen a handkerchief floating in midair. Then he saw a giant wheel floating in midair.
Cool.
I know. They're crazy. He saw a man in a bathrobe smoking a pipe. And then he realized that man was him. This is like Twin Peaks kind of stuff.
Yeah. This is my favorite kind of stuff.
I know. Grandpa had been in Paris. He saw scaffolding in Paris. When he got back home, he saw a mini version of that very same scaffolding sitting on his table. Then he realized that, like,
Oh, there's a handkerchief floating in
Dennis
midair.
Dennis is floating a handkerchief behind me.
Except Dennis is very attractive. Tattooed arm is the one holding it.
She just sees your attractive arm.
Oh my God, I love recording on Fridays when Dennis is at your house.
That's a whole different vibe. And then his granddaughters came to visit one day, and Grandpa asked, "Who are these handsome men with you?" And the girls were like, "There aren't any men with us, Grandfather." And then those men disappeared.
Oh. So grandfather, he can't see that.
Yeah, well. Yeah. They didn't. I wasn't able to find what he had, but he clearly had some vision because he was able to see his granddaughters. He was able to see the scaffolding in Paris. But he had enough impairment. About 10% of visually impaired people experience this. So that's a pretty large number. Yeah. But only about 1% acknowledge these hallucinations because they're worried that they'll be seen as insane. But that's not the case.
It's like things that you've seen before that are quote unquote coming back to haunt you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Like ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends coming back to haunt you always.
A lot of people describe it as like watching a movie that is happening directly in front of them. So, and that points to the difference between having a hallucination due to mental illness and having one because of Charles-Bonnet syndrome. Hallucinations from mental illness typically tend to address you, talk to you, mock you, seduce you. It's about you. It interacts with you.
Yeah.
Charles-Bonnet syndrome seems to not really care about you. It's like a movie happening without you having a role in it.
Okay.
I found a couple of different causes of it. They're doing studies now which are trying to find the cause of it, but a couple of other places, and I'll have all of my sources in the notes, say that it's caused because the brain creates hallucinations because the normal amount of visual information coming in is reduced, right? So like phantom limb syndrome, you lose a limb, but your brain is still firing those signals where you kind of can feel that limb even though there's an absence of the limb.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thinking it might be that.
I wonder if, let's say you have like a very large nose and then you get a nose job and you had a bump on your nose before you got your nose job. I wonder if you ever feel that like a phantom bump. You like go to touch it and the bump is gone, you know, like my bump is itchy. Oh, wait, I got it removed.
I bet if there's like, if your nose was sizable, I bet you would, right? I don't know. Let us know. If you had a beak and now you have a button, let us know.
God, I'm so jealous of people who are born with buttons.
I know. People who have like that perfect nose. Oh, it just drives me crazy.
Crazy.
Okay. So here's some of the hallucinations. Mm-hmm. You can have really complex ones. You can have really simple ones. The simple ones are lines, light flashes, patterns, geometric shapes, flowers blooming, musical notes hanging in the air, rainbows forming. Kind of lovely.
Yeah. That sounds that sounds like the best acid trip ever.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like or like a 1970s cartoon where like women have big hips and their hair turns into rainbows and like everyone's making out with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They can also be complex. You can see people, animals, scenes. The single most common hallucination is faces. But the second most common, cartoons.
Really?
Yeah. And these hallucinations, they can range from happening for a few seconds to hours. They can recur over the course of several days to years.
Now, I wonder if this is the same thing. You know, if somebody blindfolds you or, you know, if you are startled and it's dark in your room and you wake up and you feel like you can see something. I wonder if it's the same sort of wires in the brain crossing as Charles-Bonnet syndrome where you think you're seeing something but you're not. Yeah.
I wonder if like, are you talking about like an after image sort of where if you're looking at something and you turn the lights off and you're still able to see it?
More like if, like, say you're startled in the middle of the night and you wake up and you feel like maybe you see a figure in your room or you see something that's not there. Like, because your vision is impaired, but you're still seeing things that you've seen before.
Yeah, it might be that. It might also be, do you remember when I talked about that sense that you have of people looking at you?
Yeah.
Because you're able to see it out of your periphery and your brain is always trying to put together patterns and detect faces. It might also be that because it's dark, but your brain is trying to find something in the dark.
Okay.
So I highly recommend watching this TED talk from British neurologist Oliver Sacks. He is a goddamn gem of an old man. I link it in the show notes. He did a talk in 2007, and I'm going to try to explain to you quickly a little brain science. So let me know the second that I stop making sense, but hang in there with me, okay?
Laser focused on what you're saying right now.
Okay. Oliver Sacks explained that there are certain cells or clusters of cells in the brain that encode specific images. So certain cells are the ones that recognize certain things in our world.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there's a section of the brain's temporal lobe called the fusiform gyrus. And it's known that if you have damage to this part of your brain, the fusiform gyrus, you may lose the ability to recognize faces. But If there's abnormal activity in the fusiform gyrus, you may hallucinate faces.
Oh.
This is the section for facial recognition, from what I understand.
Fusiform gyrus.
Yep. So there's okay. also a section in the fusiform gyrus where teeth are represented. There's a part that represents eyes. They've done brain imaging on people as they're having these CBS hallucinations.
Yeah.
And when they hallucinate faces with big grotesque eyes or big teeth, those areas of the fusiform gyrus are lit up. By the way, there's a part of the brain that's activated by cartoons. So the brain is fascinating.
I wonder if people who are really good, what's the name of the type of art where like things are not realistic? It's
like cubism?
Cubism, or the guy from Barcelona. What's his name with the clocks and the melting things? And
oh, Dali.
Dali. I wonder if he, if his fusiform gyrus was a little bit different oh. than the average human for him to be able to imagine like all of these crazy melting, like just totally different things.
That's a great question. Or if, I don't know, I'm guessing he did drugs. I don't remember.
Yeah, that too.
But like if the drugs he was doing affected certain parts of his brain, mm-hmm. you know, like and pings certain parts of your brain over other parts of your brain. So maybe what you see or what you create is going to be different than somebody else. Okay, so are you hanging in there with me on brain
Listen,
science?
Listen, fusiform gyrus is my new favorite word and I'm going to start incorporating it into everyday life. So keep going, girlfriend.
It's also going to be our band name. So there are parts of the brain down to specific cells in the brain that recognize different things, recognize cars. There are cells that recognize buildings. Mm-hmm. This doctor's example was there can be specific cells that recognized Aston Martin cars. So when we have full vision, these mm-hmm. are all part of our normal stream of perception or imagination. We don't notice them because they're all bundled in there with everything else we're seeing that's all encoded in our cells.
Yeah.
But if we're visually impaired or blind, this normal stream is interrupted. We're not seeing things regularly. So instead of a stream of images throughout our day based on what our eyes are seeing and sending to our brains, we're getting this haphazard, convulsive stimulation, a random release of all of these visual cells. So suddenly, in the absence of everything, we suddenly see a face. We suddenly see a car. And because our brain desperately wants to organize and make sense of all of this, it creates these hallucinations. That's the best that I could understand it and what this neurologist explained it as.
Wow. That's,
does that make sense?
It's really interesting how when one part of our body fails or is dysfunctional and we can no longer use it, how other parts sort of step up and make life really interesting.
Like so interesting,
you know?
Yeah, really, really fascinating. So let's talk about some of the more disturbing hallucinations that people have had because this is fascinating.
Okay.
So during his TED talk, neurologist Oliver Sacks, who I've been talking about, he talked about a woman who saw a man in a striped shirt in a restaurant. And then the man turned around and he split into six figures in striped shirts. Those six men all started walking towards this woman and then shoo, came back into one figure.
Crazy. That's amazing. Crazy. I'm writing that down. I'm currently writing a horror novel, so I'm taking notes right now.
What?
Is it considered, what's that P word, plagiarizing if I steal this woman's hallucination and incorporate it into my novel?
I think if it's, you can say that it is, you're being inspired by.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Then mm-hmm. you can steal as long as you're inspired by.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Another time, the same woman, this woman's husband was driving. Thank God she wasn't driving because she saw the road divide into four roads. And then she felt herself go up all four roads at the same time. She would also sometimes see a teenage boy sitting on the hood of her car. And then when the car stopped, she would see this boy leap 100 feet straight up into the air.
This is so cool. I mean, I almost want this. I want this to happen to me.
Well,
at the age of 80.
When you're like fully, like you don't have to drive around.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one.
Okay.
So there's a woman who didn't have visual problems. Instead, she had a tumor on the part of her brain that dealt with vision.
Wow.
She saw cartoons.
Okay.
She would see transparent or rather translucent cartoons of Kermit the Frog. she didn't love Kermit. She had no attachment, but it was just Kermit.
That's so random.
She was fine with the cartoons, but what was disturbing to her was that she would get persistent images of faces, and they were often deformed or grotesque. They would have giant teeth or huge, disturbing eyes. Remember back to what we were talking about, where there's certain parts of the brain, the fusiform gyrus, responsible for eyes and teeth. So it's like these cells are pinging for some reason in her brain, and it's resulting, as her brain tries to create sense of it, as this like gargoyle or this sort of grotesque human face.
Wow. You know, an art gallery out there somewhere in the universe, in the world, should put together an exhibition called Fusiform Gyrus, where people who have this have explained sort of these insane images that they're getting, and then artists draw the images for these people.
Totally. And there are people who have it, I'm sure, who are themselves artists, right?
Yes.
Like there was one woman, it's actually an Australian woman who I'm going to talk about. She is an artist, even though she can't really see. Mm-hmm. She was able to sketch what her hallucinations looked like. So it would be really fascinating to get an actual picture of what these people are seeing.
Wow.
So this woman, so she had an incident in 2009. She knew she had Charles-Bonnet syndrome.
Yeah.
Normally, it was fine. Yeah. Her hallucinations were pretty benign. But she had to be evacuated from her home because of Black Saturday. This was a day where intense heat and bushfires in southern Australia killed 173 people. And her home was in that area. So she had to be evacuated from her home.
Oh my.
She had had all of these situations growing up where she'd had other pretty traumatizing interactions with fire. And so because of having this interaction with fire, having to be evacuated, she started experiencing terrifying hallucinations. She had a short-haired dog. She would see a prickly coat over her short-haired dog. She saw spiral wire-like hair coming out of the heads of family members who were bald. She saw her family members' faces melting like wax. And she saw people's legs covered with curly black wiry hair.
Ooh, so hair is a thing for her. Like that's where her, remind me again, what's a fusil gyro?
Fusiform gyrus.
Fusili gyro.
Ooh, a fusili euro. I would eat that.
She's triggered by hair stuff, which is like,
yeah,
that's really crazy. See, now I think it's really cool up until the point where you're describing this woman not being able to live normally because she's just seeing all this crazy weird shit all the time.
Yeah, totally. There was one woman who started out seeing the cartoon Danger Mouse, which was fine. She's like, I love Danger Mouse. But then she started seeing zombies and snarling dogs. Mm. And she talked to the Independent. She said, I was too scared to move for hours. It's not like you can shut your eyes and stop seeing it. It stays right there in front of you.
Ooh.
So that's when it really begins to, it can cause accidents. People, you know, if it's shocking, mm-hmm. you can hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. People have reported seeing tarantulas crawl out of books. Gargoyles appear amid friends. Zombies turn up in their home. One person reported seeing a person crumble to dust in front of them.
Oh my God.
Maybe the most famous person right now who is talking about this is a man named Dr. Amit Patel. He lost his vision suddenly in 2012. He had a hemorrhage in both of his eyes. So over 36 hours, he just went blind.
How does that happen?
It's
just a freak thing.
I don't know how it happens, but it was catastrophic. And he said that his hallucinations are of a young woman in a white dress with black hair. She's covered in blood, bruises, mud, and tears. And he said that the first time he ever saw her, he almost fell down the stairs. And that's where it can be really dangerous.
So she looks like the girl from The Ring.
Yeah. So she's the one who looks like the girl from The Ring. He said she stands in a terrifying stance. She follows him everywhere. She's on the train. She's on the subway. She's in the street. This man's wife heard him shout at her in his sleep. He has a guide dog named Kika. Kika can sense when he's having a hallucination, and Kika puts her head on his knee to comfort him. He was seeing Samara from The Ring everywhere he looked.
It's like the horror version of that, I think it's the 80s, early 90s movie, Drop Dead Fred.
You know what? I've never seen that, but I've heard that it was a lot of women's sexual awakening.
Yeah. You know, Drop Dead Fred was on TV the other day, so I watched the first 25 minutes of it. I don't know how it ends. I don't know how it ends. And I almost turned it off because this, like, he was very annoying to me in the beginning. And then I was like, wait, he's like kind of attractive, kind of not attractive. Anyway, yeah. It's about a grown woman who her husband or a boyfriend leaves her. She's got to move back to her mom's house. And then she opens up a Jack in the Box that she used to love when she was a little kid, and out pops her childhood, like, imaginary friend. And he's like, ew, you're ugly. You're all grown up.
So gross. It's funny that they did that movie on How Did This Get Made? And it was very divisive. Members on stage. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So like this kooky, crazy guy just follows this grown woman around all the time. And it's like this poor doctor with this double hemorrhage seeing Samara from The Ring. It's the horror version of Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah, totally. So like, I wonder if it really is just these random firings in your brain, or if it's high stress or previous traumas somehow instill something into you, and that manifests in what you're seeing.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Dr. Patel is seeing these horrible, scary images, while some people are seeing like carpet that's moving or pink diamonds that are floating up the wall. Like, it really is so different from person to person. So lastly, November 16th is Charles-Bonnet Syndrome Awareness Day. And one thing that neurologist Oliver Sacks wanted to emphasize is that this is common. If you or someone you know has visual impairments, or you're, you know, blind, you're somewhere on the spectrum of having a visual impairment, this is really common. And so people tend to get misdiagnosed by their doctors, or they're afraid to say anything because, like I said, they're afraid of being called insane. You're not. It's not a mental illness. It's a brain chemical, you know, cell something is happening.
Yeah.
Where your brain is trying to communicate and it's making you see these things. You're not in danger, but you can learn more. There's a UK charity called Esme's Umbrella, which is like the most lovely name ever.
Yeah.
And you can find it at charlesbonnetsyndrome.uk. And then lastly, last month, it was announced that the eye research charity Fight for Sight is partnering with other charities, including Esme's Umbrella, to fund research into CBS at the University of Oxford and Cardiff University. They're doing a ton of work. They're investigating what might cause CBS. Mm-hmm. They're hoping to destigmatize it because, again, mental illness, it's not. And they want to lay the groundwork for finding an eventual treatment. So that's that.
If it's this common, I'm shocked that this is the first time that I've ever heard of this.
My hope is that we're going to hear more and more about it, because I first heard about it 2 months ago.
Yeah.
When, in terms of Dr. Patel had done an interview and he was talking about, you know, seeing Samara and how creepy it was. But yeah, like, I had no idea it was really so common. Mm-hmm. And we just need to make people know that, like, we're not going to put them in an institution. You're not insane if you're seeing things. It's because, you know, it's just like, it's a really fairly common part of having impaired vision.
Wow.
And I'm really glad that people are starting to talk about it, because God, it must be so scary. And it's like, you must just think, you must feel so trapped, because imagine if you are, let's say you're slowly losing your vision. Mm-hmm. And you know that eventually you're going to go blind. So that in itself must feel so isolating. Mm-hmm. And then to know that, like, no one around you really understands what you're going through. And then you start seeing things and you think you're going insane and you're afraid to tell people because now you think that they're going to think you're crazy. So now you're even more isolated because you have this secret. You're questioning your own. Like, it has to be just the most sad, scary, isolating experience.
Bethany, you may have just opened up a lot of doors, emotional and visual and medical doors, for someone listening to this right now who didn't know what they were experiencing. So thank you. Like, it's insane that we've never heard of this before, especially because I can't believe that there's not a horror movie that incorporates this into the plot line.
Right? Yeah. Like, I know that Blake Lively got an eye transplant and then she started seeing things through a killer's perspective, right? Didn't that happen to Blake Lively?
No. Blake Lively went blind, or had been blind her whole life, but then was able to see again. And then her husband only loved her when she was blind and then maybe tried to kill her.
Oh.
It wasn't an eye transplant, I don't think.
Oh, so that's not Charles-Bonnet syndrome. That's just being an asshole syndrome.
It was a terrible movie, please. I love Blake Lively to my core. I love Blake Lively.
Yeah.
I even loved her defunct lifestyle website that nobody liked. I loved it.
What was it called?
I forget.
Living More Lively?
Goop. No, it's not Goop. It was
Can you imagine if it was Goop and she just didn't know?
Listen, Blake Lively should make a movie about this to make up for that terrible other movie about going blind and then seeing again.
By the way, we should start a lifestyle blog called Goop as an experiment to see how long before we get a cease and desist, because then Gwyneth will have noticed you, Kathleen.
I talked to her on the phone once, Bethany. Don't you remember?
Oh, I do remember. That's right. Yes, that's right.
She wasn't at all amused by me and my obsession with her. Wow. So let's move on.
So, Kathleen, we're like 7 or 8 months into this pandemic now, and I can guarantee you people's bodies don't look like they used to look like.
Mm-mm.
If you're not feeling great about your body right now and you're trying to find things that fit you, Third Love is your place to start, because Third Love bras are going to help you find the proper bra to fit your body the way it is right now.
And I recently just bought a top that had a very low plunge line. I was like, wait a minute, I don't have a bra right now that would look good with this top. I immediately went to thirdlove.com and discovered their new Shadow Stripe Uplift Plunge Bra. Ooh. Have you seen that, Bethany? It's brand new. It's right there on the homepage. It looks so cool and so comfortable. And gentle listener, Bethany and I have gotten bras from Third Love because we partnered with them for free. And then we went and spent our own money on Third Love bras because we love them that much. It is the most comfortable bra you will ever own. And if you take their Fit Finder quiz, you have to be brutally honest. You know how you answer about the shape of your breasts and how your bras currently fit you. I guarantee that you're going to find something that you absolutely love.
Yeah, it's not just your breast size. It's your breast shape that matters when you find a good fit. I didn't know that before Third Love. And they stand behind their products. So if you don't love it, every customer has 60 days to return it. And they're dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. Over 15 million women have taken their quiz to date. And they have over 80 sizes.
Yeah.
It's not just like one size fits all. And it's from cups AA to I think. And then they have like half cups and bands from 30 to 48. You're going to find a bra that fits you.
Yeah. And with signature details like the memory foam cups and the no slip straps, even my t-shirts just look better when I'm wearing a Third Love bra as compared to like another brand that I'm not going to mention. My t-shirts look better, Bethany. My t-shirts look better.
And I intercepted my neighbor's mail. And so I know that my landlady also wears Third Love bras because I saw the package. Third Love knows that there's a perfect bra for everyone, including your landlady. So right now they're offering you 10% off of your first order.
All you have to do is go to thirdlove.com/taste right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 10% off of your first purchase.
That's thirdlove.com/taste for 10% off today.
Hey, Bethany.
Hi, Kathleen.
I had to pause after you did your last section and go and add a little lip color.
It looks great. It's a beautiful, like, pale pink.
Yeah, or it's I guess purple. This is the color. Anyway, you look so beautiful in your lip color today. And then I had to put another layer of concealer over my lip pimple.
I've done the same thing. There have been times where you've shown, like, anytime I think, oh, I'm just going to do the natural look, then you show up wearing this beautiful fuchsia lip color and it makes you look so bright and vibrant. And then I have to go into the bathroom and add something because I'm suddenly insecure about not, like, my lips disappear if I don't have lip color on. So anytime I'm like, I'm just going to be French and like not look like I care at all, it doesn't work on me and I just look tired.
I'm so jealous of those French girls who look like, oh my God. You know what? There's this shoe company that I'm loving called Bobbies, B-O-B-B-I-E-S. It's a French company. And in every single ad, there's always this French girl looking impossibly chic and also like she does not give any shits in the world.
I'm
like, why can't I be her?
I went to a party once where there was a French woman and she did look impossibly chic and she did not care. I was talking to her and she didn't care. She was so nice, which drove me crazy because I hate it when beautiful women are also nice because now I have no reason to be angry at them.
I know.
Like, you have to like them because they're perfect. Anyway,
yeah.
She was so sweet, but she wasn't sweating at all. She was glowing. She was effortlessly chic and I just couldn't stop. I just felt like a garbage human standing next to her. And she didn't care.
We're changing the name of our band to Garbage Humans.
Garbage Humans.
Garbage Humans. Okay. Let's talk about invisible labor.
Yes.
And like I said in section one, I was inspired by my best friend who sent me a text late last night. And she's like, I just need a week off from life. Mm-hmm. And I know she's got two little kids and she's working full time. And I was like, you know what? I bet a lot of people feel that way right now.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking about invisible labor. And I read a lot about it from an article on Mashable, and I'll include all of my links in our show notes. But the article on Mashable that I'm reading from mostly today is by Natasha Pignon, and it's called Invisible Labor is Real, and This is What You Need to Know. So I don't know, let's say today's a Friday. So let's say it's Friday afternoon and you have a whole list of chores that you need to get done before the weekend. Like, yeah. Someone in your household needs to cook dinner tonight. Someone needs to help the kids with their homework. You know, like, dentist appointments need to be made. And you're the person picking up the slack for all of the things that need to be done in the house. That is invisible labor.
I can just see how you would so quickly become angry and feel used and overlooked.
Yeah. And you know what? This morning, I feel like I've been shitting on Neil a lot on this podcast lately. He's a lovely man, but there was something that he did this morning that really irked me. And so our cats, we're going away for the weekend to like reconnect, right? We're going to the Catskills. I booked us two nights, you know, to like do the sexy sex and like, you know, sort of put down our devices. Neil's amazing. I love him so very much. But he did this thing this morning where he always does it when I'm still in bed. I don't know why. He leans over me. I'm in bed. And he goes, listen, I don't want to tell you this. Like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Cannoli needs to go to the vet today.
Oh.
And I'm like, ugh. And it's not like she's sick. It's that she needs her shots before we go away because the people taking care of her won't take care of her unless she gets her shots.
Gotcha.
It's a chore. It's not.
It's a chore.
Yeah, it's a chore. It's not, oh my God, our cat is sick. And so I'm like, man, had he just phrased it like, okay, we need to game plan because one of us needs to take Cannoli to the vet today. And it's that type of expected, you're going to take control of it. And listen, if you don't have kids, this can happen to you also. I'm not trying to play the victim here. I'm just trying to make a point where if you don't have kids, this doesn't necessarily apply to you. Like the other day, my mom said to me, Kathleen, you are the wheel that keeps our family going. And I'm like,
ooh, that's a lot of pressure.
But what if I don't want to be the wheel? What if I just want to be the square peg that just sits in the corner and observes everything that's going on?
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily need a house full of kids for this to affect you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think I imagine that people who have children probably burn out more quickly from it. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, you can live alone and feel this.
Yeah. And it's primarily something that falls on women. In the U.S., married mothers, spend nearly double the time doing housework and taking care of children than American fathers do.
Wow.
Double the time.
Wow.
So, Bethany, when you were growing up, what was the dynamic like in your household when your parents were still married?
So my mom worked as a nurse, and I think looking back, she was probably part-time or three-quarters time. Mm-hmm. She was home more than my dad was. My dad was typical, like 9 to 5 or 7:30 mm-hmm. to 5 or whatever. But yeah, I think my mom was probably more responsible for making sure the house was clean and cooking. And, you know, my mom did a lot of gardening and canning. And so in terms of food preparation, she was doing that as well. Yeah, and I know my mom also did the bills. Like, she took care of the money stuff.
Wow.
You know, so yeah, she probably did carry a large percentage of the home care.
Yeah.
For sure. What about your family?
Very traditional.
Yeah.
Where my mom was the one who cooked dinner every single night. She was the one who took care of her mother. So she was the one taking care of elderly people. She took care of my dad's mother when my dad's mom was still alive. And my dad would get home from work and nap. You know, and because he was tired, he worked all day. But my mom got home from work. She worked full time. She was a first grade teacher for her whole life. And one thing that really bugs me about this, and I'm wondering if there's somebody out there who needs to hear this, is that my mom was a teacher, which was amazing. She had summers off, and my parents had childcare. So, you know, we had au pairs. So that was sort of taken care of. And my mom could sort of take a step back on that.
Yeah.
But in the summers when she had off, my dad would leave her a list of things to do while he was at work. Every single day.
Oh, so she couldn't take a break.
No, she could never get a break. And it is like, I know I'm going to sound like a bra-burning, angry feminist when I say this, but absolutely 100% fuck the fucking patriarchy.
Yeah.
Gentle listener, no matter what gender you identify as, if there is someone in your household who is leaving you a honey-do list that is ruining your life because your invisible labor is going unrecognized, recognized and mm-hmm. they feel like you need to be busier, you 100% need to step up and say something for yourself.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
And a lot of families are feeling this now more than ever because of quarantine, because everybody is home and nobody's leaving the house, and still all of these things need to get done, and probably even more so than normal because you're consuming more food at home.
Yeah.
And just having more things in the house, you're using more household items that need to be replaced and stuff like that. And
yeah,
it really got me thinking last night. Like, it just sent me off into the deep end when my best friend was like, I need a week off from life, because she's always so cool, calm, and collected. She's never yeah. anyone who gets like flustered. And I was like, okay, like, this is something that needs to be talked about.
And by the way, I want to clarify something, because I know yeah. what you meant, but I want to make sure people understand. You meant like angry and then a feminist who is angry. Not that like all feminists are angry. I think yeah. that people are still misdefining that word as like a word, yeah. a woman who just hates men and is angry all the time. That's mm-hmm. not the case.
And I would never burn my bra. Do you know how bad that is for the environment?
It's awful for the environment. But yeah, like, if you know, we've talked about it before, but like, a feminist is just someone who believes that women should be paid the same as men, and like, everyone should make the same money and be treated yeah. the same, right? So yeah,
exactly.
Let's try to take the stigma out of the word. But yeah. I knew what you meant. I just wanted to make sure everyone knew what you meant.
Thank you, Bethany. I appreciate yeah, that.
Of course.
One thing I took away from this article, which I thought was really interesting, they talked about an essay that Virginia Woolf wrote, and it's titled A Room of One's Own. In it, she argued that women need to have a creative space to sort of let go from all of the invisible labor that they're in charge of and regenerate, and so they don't burn out. And I love that idea. And you know, people are like, ha ha ha, she shed. Like, that, what's that insurance commercial? Like, oh, your she shed burned down. Ha 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 ha. But it's a genius idea. Like, if you're someone who's feeling really burned out right now because you have a lot of other people to take care of, maybe the idea of even just a corner in your house or your apartment or wherever you live, or like
yeah.
a little cafe table that you put in the backyard, like, maybe we should all be making these small spaces so we can get away from the stresses of everyday life and just sit there and do something creative.
I think that's the case. Some place that you can just not be reminded of everything you have to get done, and it just burns you out. And if being creative is your job,
yeah,
you can't do it if you're feeling burned out. It's
no.
And right now, if you're a person who's created anything during quarantine, congratulations, because as we continue, man, it is just, it's eating away.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're doing invisible labor, you need to change your mindset about all these things that you are doing. Because one of the reasons, and I'm not blaming anybody, but one of the reasons that invisible labor is something that still continues to this day and for the whole goes unrecognized is because people who do it don't believe that they deserve the same recognition as people who go to an office every day and work a 9-to-5 job. Because people who do invisible labor, they're just like, oh, this is what I do.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily making money from unloading the dishwasher and taking the kids to school and caring for elderly people and their family. And therefore, they don't feel worthy of the recognition that they deserve. And if people who did invisible labor got recognition from other people in their households for the work that they do, things would be more equal.
That makes total sense. Money places value. Mm-hmm. So if we aren't getting paid for the things we're doing, we assume it's not valuable, or the people around us assume it's not valuable. Mm-hmm. And we can internalize that message so easily. And yet you're like, why am I burned out? It's like when someone says, oh, I'm a stay-at-home parent, and someone else responds, oh, you're so lucky. That must be fun. It sounds like a waking nightmare because you're never off.
Yeah.
You're never off.
You're never off. And a lot of these stay-at-home moms are like, well, my husband is the one. Or listen, I don't want to make this. This is mostly a cisgender issue, but it can most certainly apply to all different types of couples.
Absolutely.
But it's usually the stay-at-home mom who's like, well, you know, my partner makes all the money, so therefore they get to make most of the decisions. And then your opinion is downgraded because it's not as important as your partner's. And you still have so much work to do.
Yeah.
And so, gentle listener, if you are one of these people out there, first of all, give yourself a pat on the back. Pat, pat, pat.
Pat, pat, pat.
And then second of all, like, ask, and I'm going to get into this, but you need to ask for people in your household to give recognition.
Amazing.
To you, right?
Or start doing it themselves then, fine.
Yes. And it could potentially save your relationship. There was this really interesting study from researchers at Oklahoma and Arizona State Universities, and they found that 90% of participants who were married or partnered mothers reported taking exclusive responsibility for household tasks. The researchers found that when women had to handle their kids' emotions and well-being on their own, it was linked to greater feelings of emptiness. They also found that it was connected to a lower life and partner satisfaction. It also factored into what the mental health level was of the participants, whether they felt good mentally or felt impaired mentally. It also affected how they viewed intimacy with their partner or whether they felt unconditionally accepted.
That makes, I mean, like, I feel like all I'm saying is that makes total sense, but it makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because if you feel like you're alone in this relationship and you're the only one taking on all this stuff and you're exhausted and the other person isn't seeing it or doesn't value it, you don't want to fuck them. You want to yell at them because you feel so alone.
Lately, I've been doing so much for my mom that is invisible labor. And I come home and I'm exhausted and I'm not sure if Neil understands. Like, I know he's so proud of me for stepping up and helping my mom, but I'm just not sure if he understands, like, exactly how much, like, what kind of toll it's taking on me. And so, like, I'm so excited to, like, go away with him this weekend and reconnect. And I 100% understand this intimacy thing because when I feel most close to Neil, it's like an emotional thing. And when he feels most close to me, it's literally when we're physically having sex.
And I think that's pretty common. I don't think you're the only one who feels that way.
I try to explain to him, like, when you're nice to me, it makes me want to have sex with you. What I'm interested in right now, Bethany, is hearing your take on chores that you need to get done in your house because you and Dennis don't live together. So, like, when Dennis comes and spends the weekends with you, whose job is it to go out and get the food that you guys eat over the weekend? Or do you do that together?
Sometimes we do it together. Usually I get it. So, like, my goal is to just have it here. So, hi. You can walk. No, it's okay. You can walk. I don't want you to feel.
Poor Dennis.
Yeah. So that's usually already here. Dennis is in charge of cooking and I'm in charge of cleaning. That's the agreement. So, like,
I love that.
Yeah. So if we each make our own meal, sometimes lunches, we'll each make our own meal, then we're each in charge of cleaning up our own stuff. But if he cooks dinner, I clean up dinner. But then kind of everything else, I, you know, I think it just, I sort of am puttering around the whole time we're together, kind of just tidying up because that's what I do anyway. So it just sort of still is like, he's here, so it's my house, so I'm sort of mostly the one puttering around because because it's how I like things to be. I know where I want them to be and whatever.
Yeah.
But likewise, like, if I go over to his place, he's kind of floating around and cleaning things up, right? And so so really, if we get burned out from invisible labor, it's just because it's paired on top of things we already have to do.
Yeah.
So it just becomes more about the to-do list is so long, even though it's a to-do list that we've made for ourselves.
Yeah. No.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, Bethany, I poked around on the internet for anyone who lives in a household with lots of people who feel like maybe things need to be distributed more equally, like invisible labor needs to sort of be split up. I put together a list of things that I read on the internet, and I'm not pulling from one specific list, and I'll tell you why, because I found them to be really sexist, like really fucking sexist, because it's all like, I'm a working mom and my husband won't help me. And like, that's just not the way that the world is because gay people get married. And it was just so silly. So I kind of made my own list and I'm going to add all the links in the show notes where I pulled from. But make a list that the whole family can see. Like, I love the idea of having a list in the kitchen on a chalkboard or a whiteboard where everyone in the family feels like, yeah, I can help out and I can, I can, you know what, if I have five free spare moments right now, like, I can go to that list and I can knock off, like, emptying the dishwasher, right?
That's great. It's like, if you know it, you kind of want to, you see things that you can take action on and help.
Yeah. I certainly don't pull my weight all the time here at home. Like, I barely touch the dishes ever because, you know, why Neil criticizes me when I load the dishwasher. I hear him grumbling. Rah, 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 and I'm like, what? What did I do? And I'm sure in a million ways I do the same thing back to him with other things. Like, my version of clean is not his version of clean.
Sure. Totally.
Like, whenever I go away, I'm like, don't you dare invite your friends over. The house is not clean right now. And he's like, what do you mean? It's like perfectly fine. I'm like, no, my underwear is in the bathroom. And if you invite Greg over, he's going to see that.
But I think you also touched on something that's important is sometimes the other partner doesn't quote unquote pull their weight.
Yeah.
Because they've been criticized in the past for the way they do it.
Yeah.
And so they just don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, yes. They just don't want to fight that fight or get criticized or do it wrong.
Yeah.
And so it's not worth it.
So I think, especially in the beginning, if you're someone who's trying to figure out how to more equally divvy up household chores or caregiving, do not criticize your partner because they're not doing it the way that you're not doing it. And God damn it, if your partner makes you dinner and it's disgusting, you eat it and you eat it with a smile.
You will love it. You will praise them. You will make them think that they are friggin' Julia Child.
Yes, because they'll never want to do it again. Like, they just won't.
Yep.
Like, I never want to do the dishes because I just get criticized for how I load the plates into the dishwasher. And I understand dishwashers are something that really, that people are very passionate about. Like, I get it. I'm not one of those people. Like, you have a dishwasher, right, Bethany?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you use it or do you mainly just hand wash your dishes?
I use it like twice a day.
Okay.
That thing is my best friend.
Yeah. Do you have a very specific way in which you load the dishwasher? Now, if Dennis were to do it.
I Jenga Tetris load that sucker in the best way possible for the water flow to accurately and successfully hit everything.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you let Dennis load it ever?
Yes, I do. And then I rearrange it.
I wonder how many couples have gotten divorced over the years because, like, dishwasher issues.
I'm sure it's a big thing. I'm sure it's a big thing.
Yeah. Getting back to the list, it doesn't necessarily just need to be chores that people have to get done around the house. It could be something like picking up a birthday card for grandma or making a doctor's appointment or figuring out who's going to do pickups and drop-offs at play dates if you have children. Like, it just doesn't need to be like, okay, like, you're going to take out the trash and I'm going to make dinner. Like, you can add anything to this list that you previously were in charge of that you want to divvy up.
Because it can be those things that aren't typically on the list that can break you.
Yes.
Like, for you, you have your whole day planned out. You know what you can handle. And suddenly a vet appointment is thrown on top of it. That's the thing that's going to make you go, I can't do this. I'm totally broken.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe you have a list because your partner has a really tough week at work coming up and you're going to handle most of it. And therefore, your partner thanks you for taking the brunt of it.
That's huge.
So that's another thing that I have on my list. Thank the other person for all the work that they've done. And Bethany, this is something that you've taught me because when this podcast just became two people and we were splitting up the work and some weeks I'll take more, some weeks you'll take more. You taught me by showing me, by always sending me these really lovely text messages that were like, thank you for all the work that you've done on X, Y, and Z. And then I started doing it back to you. And it doesn't feel performative when I send you those text messages. Like, it's because I genuinely want you to know how thankful I am that you're my partner.
I was gonna say that at some point. I can promise you the only reason this podcast is still going is because you say thank you so much.
No, it's because you say thank you.
But I think that's what it is. It's like they say a good relationship is one where you feel like you're getting more than you're giving. And that's what this feels like because you do so consistently say thank you. And I am so appreciative of all that you do. So it doesn't feel performative. So I never feel taken advantage of. If there's a week where I'm doing extra, I never feel taken advantage of because I know that you see it and vice versa.
I don't say thank you to my husband nearly as much as I say thank you to you.
Well, that's interesting.
And like I just mentioned before, like, I'm at my mom's house a lot lately. And so my husband will do most of the caregiving to our cats.
Yeah.
And I need to start texting him like, thank you. I know that you fed them for 6 meals in a row and you've cleaned out their litter box 3 days in a row. Like, thank you.
Yeah.
And when it comes to invisible labor, there's always going to be one person who, when things get chaotic, the one person is the one handling it. And if you're not that person, by golly, make sure you're freaking thanking the person who's taking the brunt of everything,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Can you imagine your life without them? Like, imagine how things would just fall apart. Nothing. What mm-hmm. would not get done? And mm-hmm. I guarantee you, the person in your life is doing more than you realize that they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think thanking them, you're right, is just the number one thing.
And if you don't want to be the shrill partner that's like, you never say thank you, when your significant other starts doing things, thank them.
Yeah.
And in turn, they will learn to thank you.
Yeah, totally.
Like someone takes out the garbage and you're just, oh, thank you so much for doing that. Like, I'm so tired right now and I'm just so thankful that you did that tonight, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
On my list, I have don't criticize how your partner does their fair share of chores. Okay, so yeah, we already we already discussed that. If you need more alone time, you need to tell your partner that you need more alone time.
Mm.
Because if you're burnt out from all this invisible labor and you just need some time to do whatever, you have to tell them. They're not going to be able to read your mind.
Yeah.
And something that I read from mindbodygreen.com, which I thought was really interesting, was be sensitive when you're approaching the subject of alone time. Emphasize how much you love your partner, but let them know that you need to pay closer attention to your own inner feelings to be happier. And maybe something you could say is, I've realized that I've gotten into a bit of a funk by not doing some of the things that I love to do. I've started to feel anxious and depressed as if I'm not taking good care of myself. And I need to just focus on me a little bit. So it doesn't feel like to the other person, you're not good enough for me and I need to be alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. Completely.
And make it reciprocal. Let them know if they need alone time too, they should not be afraid to ask for it.
That's a really good idea. I also am a really big fan of the fake appointment where it's like, okay, like if maybe you just can't even have that conversation because things are too much at a fever pitch.
Yeah.
I have I have a meeting at 10 or I'm meeting so-and-so at Starbucks at 11 and then just go and be gone for an hour. And not that I advocate lying, but maybe sometimes you just need to fib to get through the day, like, and just like be offline for an hour. If you just tell people you have a meeting, it's fine.
You have a meeting with yourself and that's it.
Yeah. Well, we did that podcast festival a couple of years ago, Kathleen. There was a woman who was talking about balancing her work life with her child life. And she knew that every day she had to pick up her children at 3. And so she told different clients and whatever, she had a 3 o'clock call. It wasn't their business that she was picking up her children because she knew that if she said, I'm picking up my kids, she might be criticized for not working hard enough or people would be like, oh, well, you can take a call at the same time. So she doesn't tell him. She tells him she has a thing every day at 3. And that's a quote unquote meeting that is important to her.
Genius. Genius.
Genius.
Genius. Anyway, that's all she wrote for today.
I think it's so important. I think that appropriately, I guess, given what it's called, we don't see it. Mm-hmm. We forget to talk about it. We forget to recognize each other for it. And I'm glad you reminded us, Kathleen. I hadn't heard of that phrase before. So thank you for like alerting us to it.
Oh, you know what? You're quite welcome. I'm just a wealth of knowledge. You just come to me for anything you need, Bethany, and I'll get it done.
You are my oracle at Delphi. Thank you.
And if you are the wheel of your family right now, crack yourself in half and go take a walk around the park so you can't roll with the punches. Being in quarantine is all about being comfortable when you have to work every day from home, right, Bethany?
Yeah, it's true.
And that means comfort on your body and your feet. And that's why we love being a partner with Rothy's. Take your first steps into fall with comfortable, washable, and sustainable products from Rothy's.
If you are looking for a pop of color in a shoe, Rothy's. If you are looking for a classic black flat that you can wear with everything, Rothy's. If you are looking for a white shoe that you won't be afraid to wear because if you get it dirty, you can wash it because it's made of recycled water bottles, Rothy's.
Yes. And when I see another human on the street walking around wearing their Rothy's, I feel such a kinship with them because my feet are comfortable and I know that their feet are comfortable too.
There's no break-in period with Rothy's because they take those recycled water bottles, they turn them into a really soft thread, and then they stitch these shoes as one piece with no seams, so there's no break-in period. There's no area that's going to rub on your foot and hurt it.
Yeah. And whether you want a sneaker, a flat, a loafer, or a sandal, Rothy's come in an ever-changing array of colors, patterns, prints, and styles.
Plus, Rothy's owns and operates their manufacturing workshop where they prioritize sustainability every step of the way. And they've kept over 60 million single-use plastic bottles out of landfills. They turn them into thread. And then they turn them into shoes. And then they put them on your feet.
So do something good for the environment and for your feet. Check out all the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/taste.
That's rothys.com, rothys.com/taste.
Style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. Head to rothys.com/taste today. Bethany, I gotta say, your bangs and your glasses today, they're looking so good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I wish I could be, and I know the grass is always greener on the other side, but I wish I could be one of those humans that have amazing, perfectly wavy hair that just like put a little bit of product in it and let it air dry. I am not one of those humans. And I know you are. Like, you have kind of like naturally curly hair.
I guess. I think that if you have that kind of hair, but you do have that kind of hair, it just depends on how it feels like behaving, because it's not always going to behave itself. So on days where it does behave itself, everything's great, but that's not always the case.
I was at a bar, like a bar restaurant, having pizza outside in the backyard of this restaurant with my friend the other day, and there was this band playing. First of all, I do have to say that I know that I'm getting old when I walk into the restaurant and I'm like, okay, you have seating in the backyard, but like, how long is the band going to be playing? Because we really want to hear each other talk.
I don't think that's old. I think that's just like, you don't want to hear a band screaming over your dinner.
But one of the rockers in the band, one of the guitarist, he was this guy that had the most amazing head of hair. And it was just like that perfect wave, you know, like not curly.
Yeah.
Like he had natural beach waves. And I almost went up to him after they were done playing and be like, what do you do? Is this a perm? Like,
what product? What product do you use? It's tough. Like, I know that Dennis uses like a product. Either Dennis or my sister, both have naturally curly hair, use a product that's typically for like more textured hair because it just like helps their curls be more lightweight and like doesn't weigh it down.
The grass is greener on the other side because somebody with curly hair is always like, man, I wish I had pin straight hair like you had. And it's like, well, you know. Yeah.
There's this new channel I've become obsessed with on YouTube. She's been around for a while, but she's the Illuminati. And she does like MLM Mondays. So she talks about different MLMs and like why they're predatory and, you know, how they're basically taking all your money.
Yeah.
And she did one on Diva Curl, which is this hair product that is making people lose their hair. And there was a woman who got really big on social media because she posted a video about how she had this amazing, long, thick, curly hair. And people were accusing her of wearing a wig. And she was like, no, this is my actual hair. Here's what I use. And she was using Diva Curl at the time. And so Diva Curl started like flying her out for brand ambassador things. And all of a sudden, she started losing her hair. And so now she has come out against Diva Curl and said, like, look, this is what's happening. And so as I'm watching this video and she's talking about it, all I can see is how beautiful her hair is. And I'm like, I know she's talking about this trauma, but like her hair is, she's figured out how to fix it. And it's so beautiful.
What's the name of this YouTube channel again?
The Illuminati. And it's spelled Illuminati, like, girl, you're naughty.
Okay. So put it in the show notes because
I'll put it in the show notes.
It's sort of interesting that you say this because I've mentioned it in my opener, like my three things. I have recently started watching on Netflix Unwell, and it's something like a 10-part series on all facets of the health and beauty industry. And the first episode is on one of those MLMs for essential oils.
Oh dear.
And how these essential oil companies are convincing people to consume these oils, but you should typically never consume an essential oil. And it's so fascinating to me how people are getting sick and they're not making the connection with this essential oil that they're consuming. It's just like, oh my, MLMs, man, whoever invented them should die.
They're dangerous. And I know it's really easy to get sucked into one because I got sucked into one. And if you don't know—
What did you get sucked into?
Arbonne. And I was really hurt, and it actually really hurt my friendship. If you don't know what an MLM is, MLM, it stands for multi-level marketing. It's basically another word for pyramid scheme. If it's a company where you have to buy your way in and then more pressure is put on you to recruit other sellers instead of selling product. You should never have to pay to be a member of a job. Like, the job should pay you.
Yeah.
So I had a friend, and I was really struggling. I didn't know what I wanted to be doing. I didn't know what my next path in life was. And she was like, well, I have this friend. She's a producer. You know, she would love to meet you. And like, I think you just need a different, you just need to talk to somebody who's like in the entertainment industry and let's just talk. So she brought me in, and her friend was a producer, but was also an Arbonne salesperson, and pulled out an iPad and started giving me an Arbonne pitch. And I felt so like without any recourse. I didn't know where else I was going to be making money. And so I bought in, and I lost like a couple grand because I like bought the initial package and I was never able to sell it because, you know, and I like I ruined friendships. It was bad. So I don't talk to that person anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it just isn't worth it. And it's really hard. And it's so predatory because it preys on people, especially right now, who are stuck at home, who are – these MLMs prey on women typically because they're home with children if they don't have access to, like, childcare, and they're wondering how they're going to make money. And it seems so easy. But it's so hard to make money on those.
You know, that's sort of funny because it ties into the topic that I just did, invisible labor.
Totally.
It preys on people who want to feel validated for some of the work that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it most typically is, stay-at-home moms with no jobs who do invisible labor, who aren't thanked for their labor, aren't recognized by their family for everything that they do.
And they feel isolated. They want a community. And like, these MLMs provide a community.
Yeah. So multiple people have said, like, Kathleen, are you watching The Vow? Have you heard of this? Bethany on HBO.
Yes. Have you watched it yet?
So I watched the first two episodes. I fell asleep watching it last night, so I'm not sure if I finished the second episode, but it's an MLM, but you're selling therapy and you're selling like a new way of thinking to change your life versus a physical product.
It's about the Nexium cult. Yeah.
It's the Nexium cult. It is fascinating.
Yep.
Fascinating.
And like, watching the first episode, I remember thinking, I would have joined this. Like, I would have joined this in a second.
Yes.
Because what they're talking about, the mental health stuff they're talking about, and like how changing your brain can change your entire life.
Yeah.
Like, I was learning things just watching the documentary about how this was a horrible cult.
Yeah.
Even I was like, okay, but these are pretty good lessons.
I know. McNeil's sister texted me yesterday. She's like, okay, if you haven't started watching The Vow, I totally would have joined it.
Yeah.
100%. Especially in the year 2020. And then she says to me, it reminds me how Bethany says in the opener of your podcast, I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yes. I would have 10 out of 10 joined this cult. And I was texting Dennis the other night about it. And he said, because they famously branded these women. They branded them. And Dennis texted me, do you think you would have been branded? And I didn't respond because I probably would have.
Yeah.
Like, I probably would have gone along with it.
Me too. When I think of my lowest of my lows, like August of last year, had Nexium approached me in August of 2019, I would have been like, here's my checkbook. I need to better my life.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Yeah. Oh, there are people here. There's a lot of other people in the entertainment industry. Oh, you are all cheering me on. Oh, you all want to help me succeed. Mm-hmm. Oh, no one here is like yelling at me. Fuck yeah, I would have joined that cult. I would have sold everything. I would have, like, every pitcher of Flavor-Aid they gave me, I would have drank fully.
So it's on HBO Max. It's called The Vow. Have you finished the series yet?
I think there's only three. Were there only three episodes so far? Are they rolling it out?
Oh, they are. Yes, they are. They're rolling it out like once a week.
I've seen what's available, which I think right now is three episodes.
Okay. So I'm like at the end of two. So I'm just at the beginning of when the really bad stuff is starting to happen. But before the bad stuff started coming out in that series, I was like, you know what? This doesn't sound like such a bad idea.
No, it doesn't, because they're talking about how like your self-limiting beliefs mm-hmm. create your reality. So you tell yourself,
yeah.
oh, I'm a victim, or you tell yourself, oh, I'm not good at something. Mm-hmm. That's totally true. I tell myself I'm not good at cooking. I'm not athletic. And so it keeps you from being athletic, keeps you from cooking. Like all of that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I kind of wish it hadn't gone downhill. I wish it hadn't turned into something awful and like was just a good thing, because I would then still join it.
Yeah. I would have spent the $2,500 to join the intro class.
Yeah. You get a white sash and everything. I would have asked for the sashes to be a little longer, but you know, what can you do?
Speaking of things you should never use, let's talk about Microsoft Explorer for a second.
Okay. All right, cool.
Or Internet Explorer, rather. So Bethany and I were trying to produce a new segment with a straight male called Ask the Straight Male.
Ask the Straight White Man.
Ask the Straight White Man. And the person that we were going to do it with couldn't call into the podcast because he's like, oh, I only use Internet Explorer. And Bethany and I were like, what the holy F? Like, get out of here. Anyway, 2 days later, after we were having this conversation with Straight Man, Microsoft announced yesterday that they're getting rid of Internet Explorer and that companies need to stop using it.
This is the thing about this straight white man. The program we need to record your call is on Chrome. Mm-hmm. He didn't have Chrome. He could not install Chrome because he only has a work laptop, and he wasn't allowed to install any new things on his work laptop.
Yeah.
And I asked Kathleen, is this man boring? Because if you are someone who can get by with only using your work laptop, it mm-hmm. means you're not looking up anything interesting.
Yeah.
You're not looking up conspiracy theories. You're not looking up bizarre, forgotten 90s cartoons. Mm-mm. You're not looking up, you know,
porn.
You're not even looking up porn. You're not looking up, you know, kickball teams.
Yeah. You're not looking up just like how to take advantage of my company and steal all their money. Like, these are things that everyone totally. Should be looking up regularly.
Right. Like, what's the definition of insider trading and am I doing it?
Yes.
You should be looking up all of that stuff. And you said, no, he's not boring. He just has an iPad.
Yeah. Well, I straight up asked him. I'm like, dude, so how do you look at porn? Like, if you tell me that you don't look at porn, I know you're lying, because everybody looks at it at least once in a while, right? Like, just out of curiosity.
Sure. Curiosity. You know, probably.
Yeah. And he's like, well, that's why I have a tablet. Okay. I understand that. But like, I don't know.
It's not that I'm mad at him, but it's a tiny red flag.
It is.
That like he can get by with only his work computer and he's, I don't know, man.
I don't want to paint him in a bad light, because I feel like this segment has a lot of potential. And this is a little bit of insider baseball, but I want some feedback from our taste buds. It's a straight male who's looking for love.
Mm-hmm.
He's desperate to find love. He wants to get married. He wants to find that person that he spends the rest of his life with. And I thought it would be really interesting. So he's like kind of dating someone right now that he has a question for us, Bethany, for us to help him.
Amazing.
But I thought it would be really interesting for taste buds out there who want the opinions of a straight male for them to write in, and he can answer their questions.
I mean, he is a cisgender straight white male. So like, we came up with the title sort of tongue-in-cheek, because we've heard nothing but the opinions of cisgender straight white males for like the last 2,000 years.
Yeah.
But I think it is kind of funny. Like, we have him. We might as well like make him work for it. Mm-hmm. So like, he'll answer some questions too. So I'm curious if people have any questions for the cisgender straight white male.
Anyway, the whole point of this conversation was, if you're using Internet Explorer, you need some more spice in your life. Because
you need to get yourself some Chrome.
Yeah, you can't. Chrome has all these amazing extensions. I love my Chrome extensions. I love everything that I can do with Chrome. Does Internet Explorer even have the Pinterest extension? Like, come on.
Probably not. I don't know. It's probably stealing all your information. I don't know.
Bethany.
Kathleen. Oh, no.
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
This week, I learned, God damn it. Shit. Motherfucker.
It's okay. I'm looking mine up right now. I saved it on Instagram.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
This week I learned that if you're about to do a Zoom call, especially one that's going to be recorded, and you're going to do it in like a place in your house you don't normally do it, even if it is someplace you do normally do it, just double check everything in your house that's in your background, because you are so used to your own home that you no longer see what is in there, and you maybe miss the giant bottle of tequila that is sitting by your fridge. And so then when you log on to this Zoom meeting, the person in charge can make a joke and say, wow, Bethany, you really like your was it tequila? It was tequila.
Tequila.
You love your tequila, because I just didn't, I don't see that bottle anymore. Just make sure, heaven forbid, you have like a sex toy airing out on the kitchen table or something. Just make sure that you see the things, because you've stopped seeing the things.
Well, you know what? I have, in a panic, put away our sex toys because my husband's Zoom calls can see our bedside table. And I'm like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
Put away the KY jelly before you go on a work call, man.
I know someone who was on a call with all of her colleagues, and she realized that they could all see something that she had very clearly stolen from work. Like, during the call, she realized this thing she had stolen from work was clearly in the frame and was clearly from their job. And she had to, like, manipulate her body to try and hide the thing she had stolen from work.
Will you tell me what that thing is when we stop recording this podcast?
Yes, it was sizable.
Oh, well, you know what?
It was sizable.
Right before we started this call on Skype, I cleaned off my chair behind me. I'm like, just with one, you know, like, I didn't want you to see all the shit that was on there. It's really bad.
Honey, I don't care. I don't care.
It's really bad.
It's fine.
I'm just looking at the pile right now. It's like, so everyone.
Yeah, just do it. What did you learn this week, Kathleen?
Okay, Bethany, we're all fucked. I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah.
There is a spider out there called Anthuraea polyphemus. A-N-T-H-E-R-A-E-A. Polyphemus. Anthuraea polyphemus.
Nailed it.
Polyphemus. Polyphemus. Okay. Basically, it's a tarantula with wings.
No. No.
The world is ending. Look it up right now.
Wait, is this... Tarantula. Did they just discovered it?
No, I don't know. It popped up on my Finsta that I follow at the Scary Facts.
Tarantula with wings.
It's a thing.
Ooh, I hate it. I hate it.
It's a huge spider. It's a tarantula with wings.
Oh, I hate it. I can't even look at it. It's awful. I would cut off my own eyes.
It's like a tarantula with that's like half butterfly. Like, the wings are brown and multicolored. They're sort of beautiful. They're really fuzzy. I should probably see where this lives to make sure it doesn't live.
My number one thing with spiders is I'm afraid they're going to jump into my mouth. And like, now there's a spider that can fly into my mouth, and it's hairy enough and big enough that I'll feel it going in and going down.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, look at this.
I hate it.
On vicenews.com, just vicnews.com, not Vice. On vicnews.com earlier this year, so it's Victorian news. I think this is Australian. It was spotted in broad daylight flying around. That's why you should not. Australia is famous for having terrible spiders.
That's where that woman lived who went through the awful fire and then started seeing the disturbing things. She lived in Victoria. So she also has to deal with flying spiders.
Nope. Erase.
No.
Before we go into how you can follow us, Bethany, is your Nashville Film Festival coming up soon?
Yes. October 1st through the 7th.
Okay.
Tickets are on sale. Kathleen, thank you for bringing that up. Yes, you can buy tickets because it's a virtual festival. You can watch it online no matter where you are.
Yeah.
So the easiest thing to do is to go to lonelyhearts.love.
Okay.
I think you have to type the www first.
Okay.
So www.lonelyhearts.love.
Yeah.
And we have all of our different film festivals listed and how you can get those tickets. So yeah, we actually just did an interview for them yesterday, which was really fun. Yeah.
Will you do me a favor and also put that on our website so we can organize a watch party with the Taste Buds?
Yes, absolutely. That would be lovely. I will do that. Thank you, Kathleen.
Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Radio Bethany. You can find me on Instagram at Ms. Bethany Watson. What about you, Kathleen?
You can find me at Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our podcast on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, just search Acquired Taste Podcast. Also search for the fan group. It's a wonderful community of people. They're just great.
And if you want to send us an email, our email address is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
You can also send us physical mail and Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
Oh, if you want to leave us a voicemail, we play them at the end of every podcast. Our phone number is, please hold,
917 917-
917-994-0353.
We'll learn that at some point.
Yeah.
Our show is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Twitter at Shargar, on Instagram at lit_fuck.
And wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
All right, taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Oh my goodness. I just went and listened to the episode where Bethany and Dennis meet and talk for the first time. And I think I'm just going to save it and download it so that I can listen to it on days where I want to know what new love sounds like. All right. Bye. Love you. Bye.
Hi, this is Colleen from Philly. I just wanted to call because I just woke up from a dream I had about you and Bethany, Kathleen, just because I don't know why, but I was essentially faced with the decision of going to a like community swimming pool with my friends or going into this like big inflatable pool in Bethany's apartment, and Dennis was there and the two of you were in like synchronized swimming outfits with the caps and everything, and they were like floral, and Dennis was laughing at you guys, and my friends were like, come with us, come swimming with us, and I was like, heck no, I'm going to go swim with Bethany and Kathleen in their inflatable pool. So just wanted to let you know. Have a good day.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen, I'm first-time caller. Just wanted to let you know something funny that just happened as I was in the car listening to the pod. You were talking about pink champagne, and you tried not to say the device's name so that, you know, wouldn't activate all of our devices. I didn't even have one of those particular devices. I have an Android phone, and I was using my GPS, and all of a sudden, it interrupted and was like, searching for pink champagne along your route.
Hello, all. It is your friendly taste bud in Northwest Arkansas. I have so many thoughts about peripheral vision. Bethany, peripheral vision is not really that affected by glasses. My mom has a genetic disease that caused macular degeneration to start when puberty hit, and she only has her peripheral vision. So my whole life, I've been aware of peripheral vision, and I actually, it's something you can get used to. I think Dennis just is so focused on what's in front of him a lot of times that he doesn't think about the peripheral vision. It's there. He just needs to, like, exercise that. Sorry, weird, random stuff. But, you know, grow up with a mom who's legally blind, who can only see on the sides, is very, very interesting because she catches you doing stuff that you thought no one would have been able to see. I hope everyone's having a fantastic day and has a fantastic week. Thanks.
Hey, ladies. So I was just listening to episode 271 where Bethany was referencing the murder post-its that she leaves for Dennis. So my friends and I do this terrible but awesome game where if you have something at your party that are kind of like decorations, we will hide them every single place that you will never expect it. So my friend's engagement party, she had these like fake plastic diamonds all over the place. We put them in her shoes. We put them in the sconces. We put them behind the TV. We hid them inside of her plants. Then for my friend's Halloween party, she had those like fake spider rings that you kind of have around. Ooh, I put them in every single one of her shoes that were downstairs. There was at least 20 pairs down there. A spider went in each one of them. So that's another fun game that you can do to annoy your friends. Thanks, guys.
Hey, ladies. This is Taste Buds Sarah. So I have a little bit of a non-traditional spin on why people should be registering to vote this season. Has a little bit of backstory, so I'll try to be brief. Bear with me. So my great-grandmother, my mother's grandmother, who was this total family mystery for the longest time. My grandmother had been told her mother was dead, and then when she went to get married, she found a divorce decree on the family Bible and was like, Grandma, what the fuck? And my great-great-grandma was like, okay, well, so she didn't die. She divorced your father. I'm not telling you anything else. And my grandma just never asked anymore. It was the 40s, whatever, that was bad. My mom wouldn't even know about all of this, except that when her parents got divorced, Grandpa decided to go flinging all the skeletons out of the closet. And anyway, it's been a mystery my whole life. We're missing this part of my heritage. I always look at my great-grandfather, and I'm like, he's a monster-looking motherfucker. I wonder if he, like, had her committed and she died, or I don't know. Who knows? No. This bitch had an affair, changed her name,
moved out of state, like ran away, disappeared. She didn't die until after I was born. It's crazy. Anyway, she had two kids, my grandma and a son. The son went to an orphanage instead of living with family. He was in San Quentin prison for a while, and he worked for Goodwill for a long time and died when he was 40 in Texas. He had one child, and that child is my mother's only cousin, and he never knew anything about his father because he was born a bastard child in Georgia in the 50s, and his mother wouldn't tell him anything. Anyway, because of voter records, we were able to, and I don't know if this is the same everywhere, I don't know if it's something weird in Florida or just at the time it was, but we were able to, scouring the internet, find public voter registration records for this guy and send him a letter and get in touch with him and tell him about his father and give him all this family information that he had never known. And the reason I'm thinking about this today is less because it's almost the election and more because that man's name is Ed and he passed away this morning. And it's the only family my mom's ever had. His kids are my second cousins. They're the only family I have on that side of my family. I treasure them all so much. And I wouldn't have them if Ed wasn't a registered voter. So register to vote. Because maybe you'll find some new family someday. That's all. I hope everybody takes care. Bye.